So our passage this afternoon is out of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 21 and 22. I won't read the whole chapter for you. I'll say it's out of brevity, but it's mostly because I can't pronounce the Old Testament names. But I'll give you a brief synopsis. So we're in the time of King Ahab. This is seven kings past King David. And every king past King David has been worse than the one before. So David was a man after God's own heart. Solomon was a little worse. One after him was a little worse. And now we've entered into King Ahab's time. The previous chapter, chapter 16, verses 30, tells us that King Ahab did more evil in the sight of the Lord than any king before him. He's the first king to openly turn against God, no longer worshiped him, didn't even pay lip service to it, erected temples to Baal in the high places, and Israel was a fully Baal-worshipping nation under his leadership. And in chapter 17, we're introduced to Elijah. Doesn't give a lot of backstory about him, but we learn that he prays for a drought. James 5:17 tells us that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. So Elijah's the one who asked for the drought, but God's the one who did it. God had warned them that he would punish Israel. Every king had been warned, and every king did not heed that warning until finally it was King Ahab's turn. So after the drought, God sustains Elijah for a little bit at a stream. Ravens feed him. The stream eventually dries up due to the drought. God tells Elijah to go find a widow. So he sends him to live with a widow and their son. Obviously, because of the drought, the provisions are a little scarce, but God provides them a little pot of oil and a little bit of flour, and Elijah tells the widow that that won't run out as long as the drought's there. So God provides for them. But even though God's providing for them, the widow's son falls sick and dies. And that is immediately preceding our verses. So I'll go ahead and read them to you. It's verses 21 and 22. Then he, Elijah, stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And when I read the Bible, I ask myself 2 questions. What is this passage teaching me about myself, and what does it teach me about God? So for myself, for us, we learn that we are sinners. We are Israel in this case. We're the son. We are dead. We are doomed by our sin. Our sin has killed us. And by God, we learn that he's justly punishing us for our sins. We also learn that through Christ, he will forgive us our sins. Not of anything we've done. We can't earn it. We can't work towards it. It's only through Christ. And if you're here this afternoon and you don't know Christ, and you're not sure that he's the Lord for you, if he's the Jesus for you, then I have some good news for you. You know, the same God who brought the drought to Israel, the same God who ended the drought in Israel, is the same God who can end the drought in your soul. He's willing to do that through the Son, through Christ, his Son. Pastor Brad said this morning that God only favors Christ. He doesn't favor us. We can't earn his favor. There's nothing good we can do for it. If you're thinking that you're going to earn your way into heaven by being a little better than the person next to you, or that you're going to get to heaven and God's going to be like, you know what, you've done all right. You could have been worse, but you could have been better, and it's okay. It won't happen that way. The only way you'll get through there is if Jesus says, "I paid for his sins." So if you have questions about that, please come to me after the service. Please follow, ask Pastor Brad, any of our elders, or anyone here. Any Christian will be happy to share for you the joy that they've been given through Christ. We also learn that God answers prayers, and that's the application I want to bring to y'all this afternoon. So Brad's message this morning was about unleashing the gospel. And his third point this morning was displaying the gospel. Do we display the gospel in our prayer lives? Do we stretch ourselves out over people like Elijah did? Or do we more closely resemble the sons of Sceva from this morning's text? Now, for those of you who weren't here this morning, in chapter 19 of Acts, the sons of Sceva were Jews, unrepentant Jews, who thought they could attach themselves to the miracles that God was working through Paul's ministry. They could monetize it a little bit, and they go in to cast a demon out of a man, an unclean spirit. And when they go to do it, the unclean spirit says to them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And I wonder if people could say, "Who are we?" Is the gospel evident in our lives? When do people see us, do they know who we are, or do they wonder who we are? It should be evident. It should be evident through our lives. And there's some ways that we can display the gospel through our prayer. The first one, I think, is don't be afraid to pray on Sunday nights. If you're like me, if Brad's looking your way when he's looking for a volunteer, you get a little pit in your stomach. But, guys, it's all right. It doesn't matter. I mean, we go back and read the verse again. Let's look at verse 22. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. He listened to the voice of Elijah. Elijah didn't have to be eloquent. He didn't have to dress it up. He just had to pray. That's all we have to do. Another way we can do it is we have a weekly prayer meeting here on Wednesday nights. Attend the prayer meeting. Fellowship with your believers through prayer. Pray for the body. Pray for our missionaries. Get to know people at UBC. Learn the body that way. Parents, pray over your children. Stretch yourselves out over them like Elijah did. We see very clearly in this passage that God answers prayers. And I think of all the times and the nights my parents stayed up sleepless, stretching themselves out over me. And I can honestly say to you, my life would be drastically different if they hadn't done that, because God shows that he answers prayers. And he's answered those prayers in my life for my parents. Teachers. You know, UBC has talked a lot about teachers recently. Anyone from preschool to middle school to youth group to even college professors. Besides the parents, and in some sad cases even more than the parents, you're going to be the biggest influence in that child's life. So live a life that displays the gospel through it. Pray for them every day. Learn their names and pray for them. Learn about ways you can pray for them. And members of UBC, pray for the body. Just pray for us. It doesn't have to be fancy. Pray through the directory. If you flip it open and you're like, oh, who's Daniel Watkins? I don't really know anything about this guy. You don't need to know anything about me. You need to know that I need Jesus every day more than I needed in the last one. And that's all you have to pray. It's pretty easy. Now, pray for our missionaries. And the lassies would love your prayers. Every one of our missionaries would love your prayers. It is my hope and my prayer that we're a church marked by prayer, that we're a church who lives out 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and that we pray without ceasing. Now, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we confess to you that our prayer lives are often dead, and our prayer lives are on life support. And Lord, it shouldn't be that way. You're the God of the universe who created us. You've given us a direct line of communication to you, and all too often we neglect it unless we need you for something, Lord. Lord, I ask that our prayer lives would not be that way, that we would daily commune with you, that we would walk with you, not only in reading your scripture, but in conversing with you. Lord, we know and believe in the power of your prayer. And God, we pray for our world. It's hurting and it's broken and it's in need of a Savior. And I ask and we ask that you would remind us to dutifully and faithfully pray for that world. Because God, you are the Savior, and you're the only Savior and the only hope that we have. It's in your name we pray. Amen.